Cause that's the bottom line.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Friday, February 24th edition of the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. On today's show, Kentucky and Florida for the SEC Championship Saturday in Lexington. The Herald Leader does it again. Gonzaga, get ready for the same debate we've heard for the last 18 years. The NBA trade deadline comes and goes, and all it does seemingly is just piss a lot of people off. And of course, a college basketball weekend means we pick some games. Looking to finish strong in the month of February after going a documented 19-6 so far. So let's go.
You are listening live.
Kentucky and Florida live from Rupp Arena Saturday. Both teams 23-5 on the year. Both teams 13-2. Loser leave town. Winner wins the SEC championship. Loser gets his head shaved and goes to another territory. Of course, it was only 3 short weeks ago when Kentucky lost at Florida 88-66 on February the 4th. Everybody played badly in that game except, ironically, Wenyen Gabriel, who in only 13 minutes had 5 points and 5 rebounds. Best player for the Gators that night, not Egbunu, who's no longer in the lineup due to an injury, but Devin Robinson, who had 16 points and 9 rebounds. Florida on the road this year, true road games, 8 wins, 2 losses. Those 2 losses are against Florida State and South Carolina, both tournament teams. But conversely, the numbers say their best 2 road wins on the year are at Arkansas and Georgia. So who have they really played on the road? The best teams they played, they got beat. I dare say, if I asked everybody that walked into Rupp Arena tomorrow what the name of the coach of Florida was, more people would probably say Billy Donovan than the real winner, Michael White. Of course, most of the scuttlebutt so far here on Friday, will De'Aaron Fox play in Saturday's game? There's no betting line on this game right now because it's not official whether he will not play. So Vegas is not going to put up a line not knowing that information. USA Today had an article today saying that Kentucky needs to give Bam Adebayo the ball more. I don't know about that. But what is Florida right now? Who is this team? We mentioned earlier how John Egbunu, their center, was injured a few games ago and is not going to play for the rest of the season. But he wasn't even one of their best 5 players if you actually look at the numbers. Efficiency-wise, the best player on this team is Kavarius Hayes. Yes, that Kavarius Hayes who only averages 6.4 points and 4.1 rebounds a game. Then why on earth is he the best player on the team? Because his field goal percentage is 63.5% and he never takes 3-pointers, taking away from his team. And if you look at plus-minus stats, Florida is through the roof, especially defensively, when he's on the floor. See, we take you inside the numbers here on the bottom line. We don't just look at points and rebounds and assists. There's a lot more to basketball sabermetrics than just looking at who's got the most points and saying, oh, that must be the best player. Kevon Allen is the leading scorer on Florida. But according to the efficiency ratings, he's barely in the top 5 on his own team. And behind Hayes is Canyon Berry. Yes, the son of Rick Berry. We talked about him a few weeks ago because he set a school record for consecutive free throws hit. And even now, he's still shooting 90% free throws on the air. And yes, he shoots them granny style, just like his dad did. Street cred be damned. But as a team, Florida, they've covered 7 out of their last 9 against the spread. While Kentucky, they've only covered 2 of their last 9 against the spread. If you look at the sabermetric rankings, ESPN BPI has Florida number 5, Kentucky number 11. Ken Pomeroy has Florida number 4, Kentucky number 7. Jeff Sagarin disagrees. He says Kentucky is number 5 and Florida's number 8. So I guess Big Blue Nation loves them some Jeff Sagarin. When this line does come out, when they feel like putting a line up, I dare say Kentucky will be anywhere from a 4 to a 5 point favorite. And I have no inside info on that. That's just a guess. Especially, even though they've covered against the spread lately, Kentucky has covered 22 of their last 32 at home. And against the spread this year, Florida has played very well. They're 16-10. Whereas Kentucky, right down the middle, 14-14. If you've bet $1 on Kentucky every game this year, you're out $1.40. But as we said, this game is for the SEC Championship. Florida's last 2 games, at home against Arkansas and at Vanderbilt. And by the way, the only reason that Florida is in this situation is because they actually lost at home to Vanderbilt a month ago. So this is it. if you want us to call this game, we think this is going to be a very, very close game. If that line for Kentucky is anywhere from 4 points or above, we suggest you take Florida. But if De'Aaron Fox is declared out before this game, we just honestly don't know what the line will be out in Las Vegas. Having said that, we'll call it Kentucky 79, Florida 78 in a thriller at Rupp Arena. But for us, from a point spread perspective, we'll stay far, far away and enjoy this one. But don't be surprised if Florida comes up and wins this game straight up, especially if De'Aaron Fox is out of this game. Cats by one, tentatively.
Let me tell you, we're glad to see you back, especially after seeing your front. Hey, feel free to write down any of these lines. Did you know that I actually came out with a book of insults one time? You can write down any of these that you want to use.
I appreciate that.
Leave it to the Herald Leader to lose focus on the big picture, as always. One of the headlines in the Herald Leader today, that Kentucky is looking at one of the top 2019 recruits right now. The headline says, there's a clear number one basketball recruit in the 2019 class, and UK is watching. First of all, the fact that this made the front of the Herald Leader sports section is sad enough in its own, because this kid can't even drive a car yet. He's still a sophomore in high school. And not only that, he's from Canada. That doesn't even count. But I'm sorry, we talk about this all the time when we read this stuff in the Herald Leader especially. Can you let us have a little break on recruiting? Because let's just face it, this is the best time of year for college basketball. Why do you want to inundate us with recruiting information for kids that are still sophomores in high school and can't even drive a car? So go ahead and enjoy, UK fans. Go ahead and click on that article talking about some kid who's still a sophomore in high school. Yeah, that's healthy. Very healthy.
I think that possibly, if you changed some of your habits, some of your methods of wrestling, if you used your left and right turn indicator in your car, it wouldn't be too late for you.
Thursday night basketball. Gonzaga defeated San Diego, or San Diego, as Ron Burgundy told us, by a score of 96-38. Good God, do these West Coast Conference teams even try? Do they just go to intramural teams and run them out there? By the way, this is no shot at the West Coast Conference, and this is not me being racist in any way, but you're going to think so. You ever watch these West Coast teams play in the West Coast Conference? A lot of white guys on those teams, just saying. But something we did not think we would be saying just as short as a couple of weeks ago, but Gonzaga is going to finish the regular season undefeated. They're 29-0 right now. Their last game will be Saturday night against BYU, and they're a 20-point favorite in that game. I'd love to take BYU, but that's not enough points. I need more points than 20. Oh, but Gonzaga didn't play anybody. Well, here's who they did play and defeat: Florida, Arizona, St. Mary's twice. But we don't know how good St. Mary's is either, because they're in the same stinky conference that Gonzaga is. Iowa State and Tennessee. And according to Ken Pomeroy, who's been doing his ratings since 2002, Gonzaga has the highest rating ever in the history of his ratings. That's 16 years now. Who had the highest rating ever? Of course, the 2015 Kentucky Wildcats. And we all know what happened to that team. So when you're filling out your brackets in a couple of weeks, you have to ask yourself one question. Do you feel lucky with Gonzaga? Right now, I don't know if I do. Can you honestly take that pen and write Gonzaga as your national champion on your brackets? I can't do it. God bless you if you can, but I ain't gonna join you.
And that's it! What a comeback! UCLA defeats Gonzaga after being down by 17.
UCLA moves on dramatically.
Earlier this week, Syracuse defeated Duke on a miracle three-point shot by John Gillen as the clock expired at the Carrier Dome in Syracuse. That was such a big deal that if you were a political science major and were taking a certain class under Professor Brian Taylor, almost a really awesome name, but Brian Taylor, you got 3 bonus points simply because of that shot. And that was Professor Taylor's way of rewarding the kids, because he knew they were up all night celebrating and they were watching the game and this and that. Well, finally, a guy who understands real life. I remember, wasn't it when Kentucky won in 2012 and people were out all night burning couches and running up and down the streets, and then these teachers, professors, were having these 8 a.m. tests the next day and students were getting upset about it? Hey, I don't fault the professors for giving that test. This is big boy world. Sports are exactly what they should be. Entertainment and on the side. But props to Brian Taylor at Syracuse for giving his kids a little break on their test. Thanks to John Gillen's three.
Heinrich puts up the shot. It's too long, and Syracuse is your national champion.
We are a week away from championship week, if you could believe that, where the conference tournaments are starting. The Atlantic Sun already has their conference tournaments bracket all made up and ready to go for next week. By next Saturday, you'll be having conference championship games. That's when you realize the winter is over and spring is on the way. Although I have to admit, being here in Kentucky this winter, there was no winter. I saw snow maybe once or twice and that was it. It felt like almost like an Atlanta winter to me. I'm sitting here on Friday afternoon, it's 70 degrees outside. Feels like Atlanta. It feels like I'm back in the South again. So here on the final weekend of February, we have some good college games this weekend. The biggest one, of course, other than Kentucky and Florida. I don't want to insult the Big Blue Nation because they will disagree vehemently with many of my views on this. Number 5 UCLA versus number 4 Arizona. That's the game of the weekend for sure. Other games, Syracuse coming off that win against Duke will travel down to Louisville. Louisville went to Syracuse a couple weeks ago and beat them up there. Number 23 Creighton will travel to number 2 Villanova coming off a loss earlier this week to Butler. And we'll have our Mac Daddy Stogie college basketball picks later in the show, in which we are a documented 19-5 for the month of February. So stay tuned.
I've heard he's had his troubles with the Joker and the Penguin and Mr. Freeze, but he hadn't handled the King yet. And I got somebody in a box that I'm going to bring out here in just a few minutes to make a Joker look like Mickey Mouse, I can tell you that.
I've heard about your box.
NBA! Finally, some action on the court that we can talk about. The Golden State Warriors defeated the Clippers on Thursday night, but what was the big news? Draymond Green tried to A, kick someone, and B, tell Paul Pierce that he's no Kobe Bryant and didn't deserve a goodbye tour. Well, he's right about the Paul Pierce thing. It's hard to think that Paul Pierce thinks that highly of himself, that he deserves a goodbye tour, a farewell tour, but I digress. And if you're Paul Pierce, you don't respond on Twitter by going to the 3-1 card. That's been done and played out, son. Paul Pierce obviously showing his age in terms of social media. But hey, the Warriors do what the Warriors do. They win because they always defeat the Clippers. But a team that didn't win last night was the Pelicans. Here comes DeMarcus Cousins, Anthony Davis. Talk of a super team. What happens? They lose by 30. Albeit it's against the Rockets, quite possibly the third best team in the NBA now that they have Lou Williams. And you talk about an under-the-radar pickup. Lou Williams, that is a super pickup for the Rockets. Taking advantage of Magic Johnson. Magic Johnson in the news today. Why? Because Dan Le Batard actually told the truth and people hate him for it. Much like here on the bottom line. When we tell the truth about Kentucky football and Kentucky basketball, people don't like to hear the truth. And Le Batard said that Magic gets a lot of his jobs because he's famous and very charming. He got a talk show and it failed after 11 shows. He was a coach and he was out after 16 games. And he's been fired several times as an announcer because he's simply not entertaining. But yet, there are people saying that when Le Batard brings these things up, he's being racist. And if you've ever listened to Le Batard, he talks about race, but he's not racist. If he does anything, he always speaks out against the white man in America, mainly because he's from Cuban descent. So these people who are calling Le Batard a racist, they don't get it, man. Because A, Le Batard is not racist when it comes to this. And B, everything Le Batard said about Magic is completely right. And in fact, we said the same thing on our last podcast, that nobody has gotten further in life by doing what he does than Magic. And yes, we know the Magic Johnson Theaters and Starbucks, and he's had a lot of good investments, and the Dodgers. He's had a lot of very intelligent people help him invest his money. But when it comes to actual performance in the jobs he's hired to do, not just investing, but job performance, when it comes to sports and or television, he's bombed every time. That doesn't make me a racist for saying that. That makes me honest.
It's nasty. You know what I mean? I mean, just to look at him, he makes you, hey, if you're not going to cut your hair, you can at least change the oil in it, couldn't you?
Yeah.
The trade deadline came and went on Thursday afternoon, and there weren't really a lot of trades. Of course, you hear all this scuttlebutt, all these trades. Where's Paul George? He's mad he didn't get traded. Carmelo's mad he didn't get traded. Jimmy Butler of the Bulls, apparently he's happy that he didn't get traded. But the one that's not happy about that is John Paxson, the GM. He's mad they didn't get him traded, saying Jimmy Butler is a Chicago Bull for now. If I was standing next to my girlfriend and I told someone, hey, this is my girlfriend for now, how do you think that would make her feel? Just saying. But of course, the trade deadline passing means that there are some high-priced guys that will be released. Andrew Bogut, who last year played for the Warriors, might be headed to Cleveland, along with Deron Williams, who at one time was a perennial All-Star. Something happened along the way, but that would be perfect for him to go to Cleveland. The only other on-court action, if you could call it that, that caught my eye Thursday night, Charles Oakley showed up at Cleveland to watch the Knicks and the Cavs play, basically clowning James Dolan from afar, sitting right next to the Cavaliers owner. If I'm James Dolan, now the Cavs owner, Dan Gilbert, he's dead to me too. Both those guys. Never again in Madison Square Garden. Ever.
Hey, what would you know about the these days style?
Well, I gotta keep up a little bit.
Now, I heard you went to an antique store the other day and somebody tried to buy you.
Ben Simmons of the Sixers becomes the third 76er drafted in the first round in the last 4 years not to play a game the year he was drafted, joining the likes of Joel Embiid, who's now becoming a superstar, and Nerlens Noel, who was just traded for Magic Beads to the Dallas Mavericks. Trust the process, huh? Philadelphia is where high draft picks go to redshirt and then get traded. That's exactly what they're doing. But hey, at least the Sixers are winning some games this year as opposed to the last few years where they didn't win anything. But hey, trust the process, right?
I want winners.
Greed is good.
Cash, cold, that's what I need.
And now with his picks for today's games, the man who's right 52% of the time, smooth, Jimmy Apollo.
Well, I don't know.
Denver. Woohoo! Denver! Yeah!
Winning's one of those rare commodities on earth that money cannot buy until you called me.
All right, it is Mac Daddy Stogie time. As we sit here on Friday, February 24th, our picks are totally on fire. Underdogs against the spread, 28 and 12. That's 70%. Our upset specials, in which we tag unranked teams to defeat ranked teams or lower ranked teams to defeat higher ranked teams, those picks are 20 and 12. That's 64.7%. So overall, that's 50 and 24. That, ladies and gentlemen, is money. And if you're not taking these picks to heed, I can't help you because I'm giving them to you on a silver platter. We will start our Saturday picks with number 25, Wichita State. 26-4 on the year, 16-1 in the Missouri Valley Conference, and they're traveling to Missouri State. Quick, what do you know about Missouri State? Yeah, that's about how much I know about Missouri State. Wichita State, a 13-point favorite in this game, and why not? Greg Marshall, who I thought for sure was gone after last year because all of his NBA players were finally off his roster, he's reloaded, and he's better than ever now. And this is the final game in the conference season for the Missouri Valley. Wichita State has wrapped up everything. They're going to be the number one seed in the conference tournament, but they've already lost a conference game, so they're not in the hunt to go undefeated. This game's on the road, so you're not playing senior night in front of your home crowd. So where's the incentive for Wichita State here? There's not a whole lot there to be had. And if you look at the Ken Pomeroy ratings, this team has only played two of the top 100 teams on the road this year. And one of those, Illinois State, they got beat by 14 points back in January. So although this team has won several road games, they haven't been against the highest of competition. And if you look at the Missouri Valley Conference, other than Illinois State, Missouri State is about as good as it gets. What? How could you say that about Missouri State? This team is 16-14 overall, 7-10 in the conference. How could you say this is one of the best teams in that conference? Wichita State against the spread this year, 15-11. Missouri State, 11-16. And get this, on the road in their last 60 road games, Wichita gets the spread, 42-18. That's incredible. These two teams played on February 9th in Wichita. Wichita was an 18.5-point favorite. Missouri State covered the spread, losing by only 18. So why in God's name are we looking to go against Wichita State? The numbers tell us to. It's just too many points. Missouri State is no world beater. They're 16-14 overall and 7-10 in their conference. But it's a spot where Wichita really doesn't have anything to play for at all. And Missouri State, in their final home game is simply getting too many points. Wichita wins, but Missouri State covers that 13. This is a single-digit game. Game number two will go to the SEC. Arkansas, who Joe Lunardi still has in the NCAA tournament. Arkansas 21-7 overall, 10-5 in the SEC. Now tied with South Carolina for third. They travel to Auburn. Bruce Pearl, now in his third year. Don't you think it's about time they start doing something at Auburn? That coach has been there 3 years now. It's about time, right? These two teams have not played this year, but they played last year at Arkansas. And Auburn, a 16.5-point underdog in that game, won the game straight up as a huge dog winner. Arkansas, their last 16 against Auburn, 4-12 against the spread. So somehow, someway, Auburn has this team's number. And if you notice this weekend, we're going to be taking a lot of teams who are kind of down and out with no shot at making the NCAA tournament over teams that are kind of in the tournament or they're on the fringe of being out of the tournament. And Auburn over Arkansas is one of those games. Both these teams are 14-12 against the number. Arkansas has won their last four against the spread. And that's a big red flag for us. Anytime you see a team that's won three or more in a row against the spread, you want to go against them the next go-around. And we're going to go against Arkansas here. Arkansas, a two-point favorite over Auburn. Give us Auburn getting those 2 points. They probably won't even need those two. Give us War Eagle over Wo-Pig Sui on Saturday. Underdog against the spread number three. Kansas State, on the verge of dropping out of the NCAA tournament, according to Joe Lunardi, travels to Oklahoma. Kansas State, 17-11, but 6-9 in what everyone says is the best conference in America. And Oklahoma, poor little Oklahoma. They got to the Final Four last year, but this year they're 9-18, 3-12 in the Big 12 conference. Buddy Hield wasn't that good, was he? Apparently so. Kansas State has lost 6 of their last 8 games. But both of those games that they won were on the road, and one of them was against Baylor. And these two teams played way back on January 7th at Kansas State, and Oklahoma beat them by double digits. Both these teams 50% against the number out in Vegas. Kansas State against Oklahoma 17-5 against the number their last 22. Make it 18-5. Oklahoma getting 2.5. Oklahoma, the worst team in the Big 12 over NCAA tournament team Kansas State. This might not even be close. And our upset special. Number 9, Baylor travels to Ames, Iowa to face the Cyclones of Iowa State. Baylor, consensus number 2 seed in all these bracketologies you see now, sitting at 23-5, 10-5 in the Big 12. That's second place. Iowa State also at 10-5 in the Big 12, but they're at 18-9 and they're unranked. Am I saying Iowa State's a better team than Baylor? No, I'm not. But at home, Iowa State has always proven to be a much better prospect than when they play on the road. These two teams played on January the 4th at Baylor. Baylor only won that game by 2 points as a 9-point favorite. Baylor still ranked number 10 by Ken Pomeroy, but they've lost 4 of their last 7. Just proving that it's tough to get through the Big 12 unscathed. And Iowa State right now ranked number 24 by Ken Pom, and they've won 4 in a row. And 5 of 6 if you include a February 4th win at Kansas. So Baylor's the better team, allegedly. But I'm getting a really good team who's got the same record as Baylor in the Big 12 Conference. And that's a true round-robin schedule in which they play every team home and away. And I'm getting the home court advantage, which is a huge deal for Iowa State. So a big upset special here. Unranked Iowa State takes down number 9 Baylor in Ames, Iowa on Saturday. So there you have it, our underdogs against the spread. Unranked Missouri State getting 13 against number 25 Wichita State. Auburn getting 2 against Arkansas. Oklahoma getting 2.5 against Kansas State. And our upset special, unranked Iowa State big over number 9 Baylor. And you could take those bad boys to the desert and smoke them.
He was real small when he was just a little kid. And his grandfather told him, if you want to grow up big and tall like me, take a little lard and rub it on your head and on your chest every day, and you'll grow up and be big and tall. And then his grandfather saw him about when Dundee was about 20 years old, and he was just like he is now, about 4 feet tall. And he said, Granddad, I don't know what. I've been rubbing it on my head and my chest every day. He said, you've been rubbing lard? He said, yeah, Crisco. He said, what, you little idiot? That's shortening.
And that does it for the Friday, February 24th edition of the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. As always, we thank you so much for listening. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Bottom Line Lex. Email anytime, bottomlinelex@gmail.com. And make sure to follow us on Facebook, the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.